Now it's time for our latest in the series that we create with the Idaho Commission on the Arts. It's called Expressive Idaho. And it's hard to learn how to form silver and engrave it from a YouTube video. Mastering the ins and outs of being a silversmith requires learning from someone in person. Jock Brown is apprenticing at Master Silversmith Dave Alderson's shop just outside of Twin Falls. And the two have met twice a week since July to work on silversmithing skills. Olivia Wheats has this report.
I drew out a flower, a six-petal flower, and then I put a leaf coming off the end of it.
That's Jock Brown. He's using a jeweler's saw to cut out this pattern.
I'm making a three-piece buckle set. I'm making the buckle, a keeper, and a tip. I hope that it's nice enough that I wear it for Sunday go to meeting.
Brown's mentor, Dave Alderson, will be the judge of that. The teacher makes a suggestion.
Work it down just a little more.
On which one?
Take your pick. It's your design.
Lately, Brown's been making a long drive from the Wood River Valley to Alderson's shop. He's part of an apprenticeship program run by the Idaho Commission on the Arts Folk and Traditional Arts Program. In rural Idaho, there are skilled silversmiths, but if you want to learn from one, you have to seek them out.
You just can't look up in the Yellow Pages and find somebody that's going to help you learn the art of silversmithing or metalsmithing and that type of thing, and engraving.
Brown found his match with Alderson. They met 5 years ago at an art festival near Sun Valley. Alderson was displaying Western silver gear, whiskey flasks, horse bits, money clips. Brown liked what he saw.
His engraving is good, and how he approaches it is not too busy. Too busy meaning too much engraving or cluttered or everything's too condensed. Everything was proportional and it flows together.
Brown's love of silver dates back to his rodeo days.
I like all the bling and the shine and the art and how the lines and the cuts and everything kind of flows together.
Brown learned how to make some things, but he always aspired for more. Even after meeting Alderson, there were times when it seemed like getting there was never going to happen.
I was almost to a point where I thought I wasn't going to pursue it anymore, and he called me up one day, Dave did, and he had found me some engraving equipment.
That was a turning point. Not only did Brown have more equipment, but more importantly, encouragement from a master silversmith.
And because of that, it made me think that I maybe, I've got what it takes to do what, to be a silversmith.
Brown kept with it. He attended a workshop with Alderson, sponsored by the Idaho Commission on the Arts. And after that, he decided to apply for the apprenticeship. Since July, they've clocked close to 80 hours.
Turn your torch half a turn here. Like this.
Brown is about to solder the floral design he cut out earlier onto the belt buckle tip. He'll also add a rope border around the edges.
Back out of there, you're too hot.
Huh?
Back out of there, you're too hot.
He almost melted part of it. But Alderson says Brown is improving.
I can show you how to do something in 5 minutes, but it takes probably about 10 years of practice to get really good at it.
Alderson looks the part. He's got a gray bushy mustache, round glasses, and a quiet style that's almost aloof. I asked the student if he's becoming more like the teacher.
I've got most of the things in my life by being very aggressive. And I don't know if I can be very aggressive and be a good silversmith. I think I'm going to have to kind of take a step back and learn and observe and try to be more patient.
How are you going to teach him to be more patient?
Let him fail, and being able to recognize when things are going wrong, and how to deal with that. That means patience.
Brown still has a ways to go, but even after all he's gone through and the journey to become a silversmith, he's decided to make it easier for the next one that comes along.
I wouldn't be stingy with it. Anybody that wants to know what I know, I'd be glad to share it with them.
Next month, this apprenticeship comes to an end. Brown has made his first belt buckle. But what is more, he has the physical mold and the hands-on training to make many more. Near Twin Falls, Olivia Wheats, Boise State Public Radio News.
And this story was produced in partnership with the Idaho Commission on the Arts Folk and Traditional Arts Program with funding support from the National Endowment for the Arts. Joining us now in the studio is Stephen Hatcher with the Idaho Commission on the Arts. Welcome, Stephen.
Hello. Thank you.
Stephen, in that story that Olivia Wheats put together, they talked about a workshop. So this is a symposium that you held?
Yeah, I put together a symposium in June of 2017 where we brought together about 20 silversmiths from around the state for a two-part sort of conference over a weekend, part professional development opportunity and part hands-on workshop with Dave and another silversmith.
Where was that held?
That was held in Twin at the Magic Valley Arts Council, and then the workshop, the hands-on workshop, was at Dave's shop.
Okay. And you said June of 2017, 20
right.
silversmiths. Is that the sum total in Idaho?
No. That's the kind of the cream of the crop. There's a lot of people that make jewelry. Jock was one of them. Now he's sort of working up to bigger and better things like buckles and horse bits and that kind of thing.
Hey, let's run through the rest of things that silversmiths make. You said buckles, belt buckles, horse
buckles.
Bits. What would that be?
Yep, that's the tack itself. They make a lot of conchos, which are kind of adornments to horse tack and saddles. Dave is a master of like flasks, goblets, bowls, anything you can make out of silver.
Spurs,
yep. Spurs are a big one as well.
So in that radio story that we aired, we heard two voices. One was Dave Alderson, the teacher, the mentor. The other, Jock Brown, the student, the trainee. Tell us about Jock's journey to become a silversmith as far as you met him.
Well, Jock's always worked around ranches and cattle, livestock, that sort of thing. And as he said, he's always admired the bling from the horse tack. He was making jewelry at the time when he met Dave up in Haley or Ketchum at one of the art festivals up there, and they struck up a conversation. So when I was putting together the symposium and Dave was helping me to build that, he made sure that I called Jock up in Bellevue to invite him. And again, at that point, he was making jewelry, and Jock wants to step up and start making bigger things like buckles and horse tack.
This may seem like an obvious question, but what is it about silversmith work that makes it easier to learn in person rather than online? And I say this knowing that, you know, when we have a tough problem to fix something on the car or do some plumbing, we'll go to YouTube and look at an instructional video and kind of mess through it.
Well, I don't think you can pick up the fine detail that someone like Dave has mastered viewing a video. You really have to be there and almost to be, you know, involve your five senses and, you know, to pick up the sights and the sounds and even the smells of you know, what you're doing that you can't get from a video.
In that story, we heard Jock Brown work in the heater, the solder, I suppose, and Dave saying, back out, you're too hot, you're going to melt that.
Right. He got a little too close and held it too close for too long, and it got to a point of no return, I suppose.
Our reporter, Olivia Wheats, said that Dave Alderson looked the part. He looked like a master silversmith. Has he had an impact in shaping the style and kinds of silversmithing that happens here in Idaho?
He has. Dave is a master of what's known as the bright cut style or technique, which is where you're when you're engraving, you're actually polishing the grave when you're cutting the design, the pattern. So in that polished grave really stands out. It really becomes almost three-dimensional. Dave is a master of doing that, and he's good at teaching it as well.
Jock said he liked David's kind of uncluttered style, where you can really see the different elements on something small, probably like a belt buckle.
Right. Some of that bright cut style, like a lot of what you see that comes up from Mexico, is very bright, and it's almost hard to see. You almost need to wear sunglasses to pick out all the detail. Well, Dave doesn't do that. He's a little more spare in his design, and it's easier to see. It's not so bright, I guess.
Well, Stephen, this is great, and we look forward to more in this series, Expressive Idaho, and learning about more traditional arts here in the state.
Well, we do too. Yeah, we love the opportunity. Thank you.
We've been speaking with Stephen Hatcher, the Folk and Traditional Arts Director with the Idaho Commission on the Arts. And don't forget, in less than a month, Idahoans will head to the polls to decide whether or not to expand Medicaid. Boise State Public Radio News has been covering the issues surrounding Proposition 2 and is now teamed up with the HuffPost for a discussion. You can be a part of that conversation this Thursday, that's tomorrow, at 6 p.m. for a conversation about health care in Idaho. The event is free, seating limited, though. This is how you do it. Go to boisestatepublicradio.org and you'll find out there.